To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold teaching or disciples, then you will know the truth and you will be set free." They answered, "Are Abraham's descendants slaves of anyone? How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, sin is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no place in the family, but the son belongs to forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
I wonder, how did you cope with the lockdowns over the last 18 months? For some people, it was a time to do something new, like Tom Daly and his knitting. You've got a knitted rainbow there. Or perhaps you were one of the thousands of households who got a puppy in lockdown. That seems to be a popular thing to do. But for all the sort of exciting and positive things like that, many, many of us suffered with that loss of freedom. You know, the restrictions that we were placed under really hit our sense of well-being, didn't it? And I guess that's because for most of us, it was the first time in our lives we've ever had choice taken away. We couldn't just choose to go out to the shops when we wanted to go to the shops or the shops we wanted to go to. We couldn't just choose a friend and ring them up and go out for a meal together at the restaurant of our choice. It was a strange time to have those freedoms taken away. I don't know about you, but each day almost felt like Groundhog Day, doing the same thing over and over again. And sometimes it's like, what day of the week is it we're on? So no wonder when the government began to look at opening up society again, they latched upon this phrase, Freedom Day. You know, the day when all restrictions would be lifted and we can go about our normal lives again. And they called it Freedom Day. Now, who can tell me what day was Freedom Day? Was it? Oh, that's very good. Okay, one person possibly can remember what day it was. And I think as we look back, perhaps it wasn't as big a deal as we all thought it was going to be. And yet, a few months down the road now, for many of us, life is sort of back to normal. And yet, is this return to normal what freedom is really about? Are we really free again? I think using that language of Freedom Day tapped into something that lies at the heart of our aspirations as a society. We all desire to live our lives, to be free to live our lives the way we want to lead them. That's what we think freedom's about. But I'll ask the question, is this true freedom? Our society equates freedom with the ability to choose. So not just choosing where we shop or choosing how we spend our time, but even more importantly, choosing who we are, choosing our identity, who we want to be. And so in our society, it seems that freedom equals getting rid of everything and anything that stops you being the real you. So for example, we see this in different ways. Just before the first lockdown, Harry Styles, who used to be, if you've never heard of him, used to be in the group One Direction. He was on a solo tour of the world. And he started every single one of his concerts, no matter where he was, by saying this to the audience. "You can be whoever you want to be in this room tonight." And people would erupt in ecstasy. Free to be who you want to be. Free to be what you want to be. Or take even this last week, I was listening to a politician at the party conference talking about this aspiration that we want everyone to be free to reach their potential in life. Now, that's a great aspiration. But from a Christian viewpoint, this understanding that freedom basically means free to be what you want to be and who you want to be, I think actually there's some problems with that. I think particularly of two problems of this understanding of freedom. Here's the first problem. What if my freedom hinders someone else's freedom? What if my choice to be who I want to be and do what I want to do actually stops someone else being who they want to be and doing what they want to do? So I'm going to give you a really extreme example here, okay? Imagine I was to go home this evening and I would say to my wife, I'm feeling trapped in this relationship. I want to be free to find love elsewhere, and so I'm leaving. Now, my choosing what I think will make me free would actually devastate another person's life. And when actually, if her choice for her to be free and to be the person she wants to be is to be married to me, doesn't she get a choice? Whose freedom is more important? I know it's a bit of an extreme example. In fact, on one level, our society recognizes that total freedom from all constraints would actually equal anarchy. It's why we have laws. But who decides whose freedom is right and who decides whose freedom is wrong? If you look back the history of the nations, that decision, that choice, has varied over time. It doesn't seem to be set or constant. So hard luck on you if your freedom gets trumped by somebody else's. That's one problem. My freedom might actually hinder someone else's. What about this second problem? Is my freedom to choose who I am and what I do actually doing me good? Now, most of us want to be the best versions of ourselves we can be. We want to be loving, kind, generous, helpful sort of people. And yet we find it so hard to be that, don't we? We think somehow that, oh, in my freedom, I'll always make the best decisions. But we don't, do we? Here's a trivial example. Imagine I'm in the house on my own, so I haven't got anybody else judging me or looking at me. I've got freedom to eat what I want. And on the table, I've got a lovely big fruit bowl full of lovely, healthy fruit. And then over the other side of the table, I've got a bar of chocolate. If no one's watching, what would I choose? Chocolate, even though it doesn't mean no good. That's trivial. But actually, if you think about the millions of people in our society who struggle with addictions, be it addictions to betting or alcohol or pornography or whatever, they know that the freedom to choose in their life has actually ended up with them being enslaved by the very thing they chose to do. Their freedom has actually enslaved them. And we don't need to be addicts to know that actually this is all of our experience at some level. The first century Christian leader Paul put it this way, the book of Romans. He said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Perhaps you can relate to that in some area of your life where you've got all the good intentions, but you end up always doing something different. It seems as if we're not as free as we think we are. And this is where the good news of Jesus comes in. He has good news for us. But actually, he begins by showing us that what we think of as freedom is actually slavery. Let's return to his words that Ilza read to us earlier. They'll appear on the screen as well. Let me read them again from John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we should be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So Jesus' hearers are offended by his telling them that they were not free people, but slaves, slaves to sin. And they push back by saying, well, look, we've never been slaves of anyone, which is a bit narrow-sighted because at that very moment, they are occupied by the Romans. And in their past, they've been slaves in Egypt and in Babylon. But Jesus isn't talking about slavery to some occupying oppressive foreign nation. He's pointing them to something much bigger and more serious, a slavery that everyone needs setting free from. Did you see what he says there in verse 34? He says, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Sin is living as if we are God, deciding for ourselves what is right and wrong, living for ourselves. A simple way of getting our head around what sin means is a simple acronym that I've sometimes used with children. S equals shove off God. I'm in charge. N, no thanks, Jesus. See, instead of living in a right relationship with our Creator, which actually leads to our well-being, our flourishing, and actually can create communities that thrive, we tell God to get lost. We choose our own way, thinking that will bring us freedom and fulfillment, but we choose ways that end up offending Him, often hurt other people, and actually damage ourselves. And we still think this is the way to freedom. Not being accountable to anyone equals freedom. Living the way life the way we want to live equals freedom. Not having to follow someone else's instructions, even a creator God who gives us life and knows what is best for human life to thrive and flourish. No, we think we know better. And so we end up enslaved by what we desire. We all worship something and we become like what we worship. For example, if you're worshipping comfort, that's the most important thing in your life, a life of ease and comfort, you increasingly will make selfish decisions that put your comfort and ease above anybody else's needs. Or if you're living for what money can get you and experiences that money can buy, then you end up worshipping money. It enslaves you because you never get to the point of having enough. Even the richest people in this world will confess that they just want that bit more, and that bit more. We end up enslaved. And worst of all, our sin leads to death. That's what the Bible says, to eternal separation from this God who gives us life. We read in one book, Romans 6, "For the wages of sin is death." What we choose to live for will either give us life or it will lead to death. What our society says is freedom actually enslaves us. It traps us now. We end up unable to control us or help ourselves and our appetites. It cuts us off from God and leads to eternal death. But thankfully, Jesus offers us freedom. Did you hear what he said there? He offers us true freedom. Go back and look at verse 31 to 32. "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus taught about our sin and our need for a rescue from our enslavement to sin. Knowing this truth is the starting point to true freedom. On a later occasion, John records for us Jesus saying this. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is saying he is the truth. He doesn't just speak the truth, but is the truth in person. He's saying we need to know truth. And as we know truth, as we know him, he will set us free. So knowing the truth that sets us free from sin means coming to know Jesus personally through faith in him. How can Jesus give us this freedom from the sin that enslaves us and makes us be not the people we want to be? Well, when he started his public preaching and healings, he quoted from a prophecy that had been written hundreds of years before his time. And it said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." And then he said, "This prophecy has been fulfilled today in your hearing." For those enslaved to sin, for those oppressed by their alienation from their Creator God, he says he's come to set them free. And ultimately, he can offer that freedom to us now because he dealt with the penalty and the punishment of our sin by offering himself in our place, giving up his life on a cross for us. You see, his love is so great and his desire for us to know him and enter into true freedom is so strong that he gave up his life. And on the third day, he rose again, showing us a picture of what life to come will be like for those who trust him. So verse 36, he says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. To enter this relationship with Jesus, who is the truth, in which he sets us free from the guilt of our sin, when he sets us free from the fear of death, when he sets us free from the enslavement to our own sinful thoughts and practices that we've got stuck in, we first need to admit that we are slaves. We are slaves to sin. We need setting free. And that means coming to him humbly in our need, trusting that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Turning from that life where we thought we were living free, but actually we were living as if we were God. It means becoming one of his disciples. Disciple simply means follower or learner. And to all of his followers, he gives his very spirit. His spirit empowers us to stop living for ourselves. His spirit strengthens us to do what we know is good and right, that we no longer have to sin. Before we were slaves to sin, we had no choice. But when we follow Jesus, we are free to live a new life. Not enslaved to our past, not enslaved to our flaws, not enslaved to our selfish decisions. Yes, we will still fall and make mistakes, but the trajectory is different. We have a new power. We have a new life. Now, if you're here and you wouldn't yet say you've entered into this freedom, what can you do next? What can you do in response? Well, if you're listening online, I'd say get in touch. Give us an email through our website. Or read the evidence about Jesus for yourself and what he does claim to offer you. You can do that in the Bible. We'd love to send you one, or you can read it online. Why not go to Mark's Gospel and start to read about Jesus there? You can get in touch, and we offer a course that's run all around the world called Christianity Explored that gives you the opportunity in just a few evenings sessions to look at what Jesus said and what he did, for you to look at the evidence yourself and come to your own conclusions. Or you can come and join us Sunday by Sunday as we learn more about him. But you see, Jesus says he came and he died and he rose again to set us free. It's as if we're prisoners in a cell and he's opened that locked cell and is calling us to come out. But why remain a prisoner when the cell door's been opened, when you can walk free? Or if you like another image, we thought of study about the loss of our freedoms in lockdown. It's as if Jesus comes to us in our lockdown confinement and says, lockdown is over. Come out and be with me. You see, the freedom that Jesus offers us is something far greater than Boris's Freedom Day, of which we can't even remember. It's far superior to just a return to our normal life. Actually, Jesus is saying, know me. And the freedom that I will give you leads to real life, both now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Just a moment for you to think and reflect about what you're living for and maybe what you thought true freedom was about. And then I'll lead us in prayer. Jesus, we confess that without you, we are slaves to sin. That we don't do what we want to do, and the wrong things we don't want to do, we end up doing. Father, we confess that often in our pursuit of our own individual freedom and thinking that means our needs are most important, we trample on others and hurt them. And most of all, Father, we're sorry that actually our desire to live as if we are God actually damages ourselves. But thank you, Jesus, that you haven't left us in this state, that you were willing to come and be born and become one of us. Thank you that you said that you came to set the prisoners free. Thank you that you offer us a freedom from the enslavement to our sin. Thank you that you have won that by taking the punishment that we deserved on yourself as you died on that cross for us. Thank you that when we turn and from the way we were living and place our trust in you and become one of your followers, one of your disciples, that you give us your Spirit who enables us to begin to live differently, to live lives that are truly free, not slaves to our sin no more, but actually those that are caught up in love and worship of you. Thank you for this freedom that you offer. And thank you that you are returning and in your renewed creation, we will experience this freedom in full that perhaps we still at times only taste in part because we still choose our own selfish ways. But thank you, there's a day coming when we will be truly free to live and love you as we were created to be. We thank you, Jesus, the liberator. We praise you in your name. Amen.